Welcome to How to Build a Tent, the podcast on how to make you successful. My name is Ben Wood. Thank you for sharing the show right this minute or in the past, but specifically right now. If you're sharing the show right now, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Welcome all the first-time listeners. Really appreciate you. If you want to reach out to me with any questions, comments, you can find me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. You can find me on the social media sites. Give me a little follow, How to Build a Tent. Really appreciate it. Or a big follow, one of the two. There's, you know, that's the new feature on Facebook. The little follow and a big follow. Speaking of new features, though, have you seen the new fact-checking feature that Facebook has where they're fact-checking memes? I've heard about it for a while now, but I've actually saw it today for the first time. I think it was a meme about if windmills actually ever make up the cost that it costs to build the thing. And below it was a liberal site, I think it was The Atlantic or something, that fact check said, no, that is not true. Which is, I don't know if it is true or not true, but I just think it's funny. I'll be curious to see if I see any liberal memes or liberal people's posts be fact checked, or if it's all going to be conservatives. That is a really interesting thing to keep an eye on. It's really important just to remember to be full of joy when we face giants like Facebook, like Mark Zuckerberg, and we feel overwhelmed by the enemy. We just got to worship and be thankful for what God has done, because he is bigger than any of our problems. He's bigger than any of our enemies, any of the people that want to censor us on social media sites. I just whistled a little bit. That's pretty funny. And it's just important for us as Christians to be worshipful, be joyful, and be thankful that God is going to win the day. And he is going to be victorious. And we don't have to fret. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to worry. We just need to be obedient and faithful. And part of that is being successful. It is being excellent at what we do, excelling at what we do, that we can influence culture, we can influence our areas in business, that we can support politicians that share our values, and most of all, we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speaking of, one of the ways to do that is become a member of the Fight Laugh Feast Network, because you are coming alongside of us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. You can put in HGBT in the memo field and get a sweet mug for free, 15 ounces that hold whatever fluid you want in there. I've had coffee in there, tea, scotch from time to time if it's been a late recording. It's just a really great mug, and it's my way of saying thank you for coming alongside of us. So on top of all the other benefits you get part of the network, you can have one of those mugs. So put an HGBT in the memo field when you subscribe, and you will get one of those from me. I will send it personally myself. I send them out every week. I will go through and look at who subscribed, give a little thank you to God for blessing us with subscribers, and I will send those mugs out. I was reading an article right before I started recording about these Texans backed by a nonprofit by Steve Bannon, which was someone that used to work for Trump, and I think it was in Breitbart. It was in Breitbart, right? And he was helping a GoFundMe page. They raised millions of dollars and they built a wall in a weekend. They built a mile of the border wall in a weekend on private property. And I believe it cost between $6 and $8 million. And what they're going to do is sell it back to the government for a dollar, because you can't give it away for some legal reasons, which is ridiculous. But they're going to deed the property that the private property that the wall is built on, which was private property, they're going to deed it to the government, sell it to them for a dollar. And that just brings up a really interesting discussion. And it goes back to that, the whole libertarian argument, right? Like, but the roads, if you've ever seen those on the social media sites, it's really funny. But the roads is like assuming that nothing could get done if the government didn't pave roads. And this is really a testament to the fact that, hey, maybe we shouldn't let the government pay for it, and we should just have responsible citizens take ownership of their areas, like we're seeing here, and raise the money themselves and have it done themselves. They built a mile of a wall in one weekend. I don't think the government could build a wall in a weekend. In fact, in the article, even further, it says that the wall goes from the Rio Grande and it goes up Monte Cristo Rey. I don't know where that is, but it says the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said it was impossible to build, and yet they built it in a weekend. And that just goes to show you that we don't need government. There is like this fear or this anxiety that we get when we don't have this fake nanny watching over us. That is the nanny state. And it turns out we don't need the government for as much as we think we do. So I thought that was just an interesting article that I wanted to share before we dove in any further. We have checked all the boxes of the intro so we can get right into the five things to help you save for your first $10,000. Whenever you are starting out on something, it's always the hardest. When you start out building a social media page, for those of you who have done it, you know, it's really hard to get the first 100 followers, but then the next 500 is a little easier, the next to 1,000 is a little easier, and you start like building this snowball effect where you start accumulating momentum and you start being able to just, I don't know, like you work, you kind of start feeling like gravity is working with you instead of against you. And that is true with savings too, and that is true with investing. And that is why I really love this. The five things to save for, to help you save for your first $10,000. And the first is to change your habits and to do it quickly. And their point is, if you try to save for $10,000 in the first year, then you're going to mentally say, hey, if I just do this for five more years, I have $50,000. Opposed to if you don't try to do it quickly and you say, oh, I'll save $10,000 in 5 years. Well, then you're going to say, well, geez, I only saved $10,000 in 5 years, and it's not going to be as motivating. So the more serious that you take this, the more serious you take saving, investing, building up for yourself a safety net, the faster you can do it, the faster the rewards are going to be recognized and the easier it is going to be for you to get this ball rolling. If you don't have $10,000, if you don't have $5,000 to invest, to save as a safety net, then you need to start cutting back and start taking this seriously. Start rolling out some goals for you to quickly build up some money, because you need money to make money, but it's not impossible to get money if you don't have money. And one of the ways to do that is to set goals to quickly achieve that. The second thing is to think of your saving and investing as in percentages of income and not in amounts. And what I mean by that is this. If you make $1,000 a paycheck, don't think I need to save $100 a paycheck. Think I need to save 10% of paycheck. And the thinking is, it's kind of a psychological effect, but it seems like it's easier to save a percentage than to save $100, because you'll just simply think, oh, I can just spend this $100. It'll be harder for you to spend if you're thinking in percentages and just putting that percentage right away. Psychological thing altogether. It's kind of like what Dave Ramsey says when he says, even though the interest rate may be lower on smaller debts than higher debts, pay off that smaller debt first because it's a psychological motivator. Kind of the same thing here. And then part of taking that percentage is to increase slowly month by month. So maybe 10% of your paycheck is a lot to save. Maybe you need to cut back on some other expenses as well. But maybe you start with 5%, and then next month, 5.5%, and then 6%, and slowly, incrementally increase it to hit your goal. And it will be just easier for you. It won't be such a dramatic experience, which can be another way to help you do it quickly. Third is invest all of your money in a side hustle. Hopefully you guys that have been listening to the show for a long time now have heard me talk about side hustles and how important it is to find ways to make money. Some people say make money while you sleep. Some say it's passive income while you're doing your other job. Whatever it is you, to be successful, to build up wealth, you need to have more income than just a W-2. You're never going to be established financially. You're never going to be well off without having multiple streams of income coming in. And what do you do with that other stream? No, you don't buy more stuff. You don't add on more expenses. But you take that money and invest it. You take that money and put it into your savings account. You build up your income that way and increase those percentages as well as much as possible. instead of going out to dinner more and more, put it more and more into your investments. And the more you sacrifice and do that, the faster that you are going to build up a nice little egg to invest in, to give, to be used by God in amazing ways. The fourth thing is the roundup. And like you think like Acorn does this with small amounts of investing. Whenever you see like, oh, I'm putting in 10% and that means I make put $975 into my investments every month. Well, just round up and make it 1,000. And it's another way for you to incrementally just start putting more and more into where your money should be. And it's all these just little tricks to get you to start building up slowly into your goal. Because once you get a certain amount of money, then it's going to be easier to make that next amount of money and then the next amount of money, which leads to the last point. The first one was change your habits fast. Don't go wait 5 years. Think of your savings and investments in percentages and not amounts. The third was invest your side hustle cash into your investments. Fourth, round up. And fifth, the fifth thing to do is double your goals. So if you save $100 the first month, then try to save $200 the next month, then $400, then $800, and see how much you can double up your goals. And again, if it gets too high, then don't feel guilty about it. Just lower it and then try again and just keep trying to hit it. Try and figuring out new ways to bring in revenue. Try new ways to cut costs and slowly get to that goal. And again, there's no condemnation here. This isn't for you to feel guilty like you failed, but these are just steps to implement to get you to earn that money to start off with so you can start investing and start being profitable and wealthy and successful with your finances. Connecticut is raising their minimum wage to $15 an hour, which means it's going to remove a bunch of jobs that have been there, low-skilled jobs, which means that if you are thinking of starting a company in Connecticut, you might want to look at another state. And it is just another testament to why liberalism, the left, is going to be hurting the smaller groups of people, that's what I meant to say, in our country is going to hurt them. Because who are these people that are taking these jobs? They're usually people that are poorly educated. These are the people that are just starting out, that don't have work experience. A lot of inner city jobs are minimum wage, and these jobs are going to be cut because businesses aren't going to take a loss. They're either going to go out of business, they're going to cut back on their labor, they're going to invest in other ways to get the job done. They're going to replace you with robots eventually, or they're just going to go to another state. And it creates a poorer society where artificial prices are raised. Whenever you do price controls, either try to lower them or raise them, it's never a good thing. The market always knows best. So by 2023, when this is fully implemented in Connecticut, and there's a lot of other states doing it too, which might be another thing to think about if you're starting a business and where you live, you might want to move to a state that is more business friendly, and not just because it'll be cheaper for you and your business, but your society in that area, that local state, is going to be more wealthy because your businesses are going to be more successful there and they're going to generate more wealth instead of having a state tell you how much you have to pay for your labor. Another funny story was Google.com, the domain. I don't know if you know this, but if you have ever built a website or had a online business, you have to buy a domain. Your domain is like Google.com. If you go to Google.com, Google, the business, owns that domain. And so someone else can't just start building a website on Google.com. No, it's owned by Google.com. They control it. They put on what they want. They put their search engine on it. And so too with the Fight Laugh Feast Network. They own FightLaughFeast.com. That's their domain. They own it. Well, turns out somebody had a lapse in judgment or overlooked this need to renew the subscription for Google.com. That is to buy the domain again. And some college kid caught it and actually through Google bought the domain and had control of Google.com for a while. And I guess like eventually what happened is like the Google bought the website back for like $1,009 and some 11 cents or something that made it look like it was Google, like the G was a 6 and 0000. And the kid ended up investing in charity. But I think that's just a good reminder that don't overlook the details, even when you're a big, powerful company like Google. That guy could have made things a lot more difficult on the big company than he did. And all because somebody overlooked a small detail of over responsibility that they needed to renew the domain registration for Google.com. I mean, what are the odds that someone would catch it in the time lapse of Google not forgetting to renew that registration? That is an absolute funny story and a great reminder for us to be diligent and to make sure those little details don't bite us in the tuchus, because they do. You have to pay attention to details, and that's one of the reasons lawyers get paid so much money, is they're thinking of those little details to cover you. The last story that I wanted to talk about today was Ford is testing delivery robots that could one day replace human workers. So, Connecticut, you hear me? You hear this? You hear this story? You see this? They're raising the minimum wage. You don't think that those jobs are going to go out of business? Those jobs are going to go away altogether? I guess a job doesn't go out of business, right? The business goes out of business. But you don't think those jobs are going to go away? Ford is teaming up with Agility Robotics, that's the company, to explore a brand new frontier in the world of autonomy, and says the economy, a new way of thinking about how we make deliveries, tackling the challenge of the final step, in quotes, of getting your delivery from your car to your door. I posted on my social media sites that semi-trucks are now being tested that don't even have the cab for people to sit in anymore, that we are going to have driverless trucking be a reality and put a lot of truckers out of business. But now UPS workers, FedEx workers, delivery truck drivers, you're going to be replaced by some technology like this, where not the vehicle is automated, but also getting the package from your vehicle to your house is going to be automated. And it's interesting to see Amazon starting to do things like this, not necessarily automating, but creating delivery spaces to your garage, to your car, to places where you don't need to be there to accept delivery. And what's the next logical step from that? It's, the computer is going to be able to open your car, it's going to open your trunk, it's going to open your garage and place the package in there and then go back to the vehicle. And it doesn't even need a human, and it doesn't even need you, the human, to receive the package, but it's just going to be automated. And there's going to be no need for those delivery truck drivers. So you states keep raising those minimum wages faster and faster, and this technology is going to come around the bend much more quickly, because these companies are going to have more incentives to do this. It'll also be interesting to see what happens with Uber and Lyft with this as well, and how fast they will be able to automate driving cars to replace Uber workers altogether. That will be a really interesting story. I just read an article. When was it? I think it was one of the financial articles that I read every day, and they were just lambasting Uber and Lyft and how the companies aren't real companies, and the only reason Uber is doing well is because of their brand recognition and how much they're scaling, and Uber Eats is their new offering, and that's like, but the actual business model that they have isn't sustainable until they can get driverless cars. And that is when the company will become profitable. And they actually even said about Lyft, which was interesting for the investors out there, that they think that Lyft could eventually go to like $10 a share. That they don't think Lyft has any kind of hope of catching up to Uber or being able to do what Uber does. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It'll be interesting to see what Tesla does and a lot of these different car companies that are trying to look for ways to automate not just driving, not just trucks, but even deliveries now. And again, ways to prepare for this is to find ways to be valuable by creating your own business, providing customer service, finding skills that aren't going to be replaced right away, and to find ways to think strategically and not just find jobs that are labor intensive. Like even thinking about the movers that just moved our house and shipped up our stuff that's not going to be around for 45 days because it takes forever to ship. One day robots could pack all that stuff up and send it, and even movers are going to be out. And that is going to create some interesting political climate when a bunch of low-skilled workers, for a bunch of different reasons, technology, minimum wage, are not going to be able to find jobs, education, who knows what's going to be, what the college is going to look like in 10 years after that bubble burst. It's going to be really interesting to see what our society does and how it handles a bunch of people unemployed that can't find jobs because they have no skills that are worth hiring. Don't find yourself in that bucket. Find ways to be building your skills, finding ways to provide value to people, finding ways to have side hustles to be able to build up a nest egg to be investing so that you will not be left out to dry. These are realities that are coming down the pike and we need to be aware of them. That's why I love doing the show, is because I want to help you see the future. I want to help you be prepared for the future so we can be a greater value to those who are going to be caught off guard by this and be a greater testament and ministry and be able to be a greater light to the people that are going to be experiencing these shifts from the economy we have right now to the full-on 100% digital economy. It's exciting. I'm excited to buy it. I can't wait to see what happens. It's going to be good, but there's going to be some pain. There's always pain in capitalism. If capitalism even makes it, I mean, if the socialist might take over, we'll see. Those are all the stories I have today. So now let's take these, apply them to our lives, and go out and be successful together. We'll talk to you later.